from The Vertical with Woj, Bobby Marks, front office insider, 20-plus years of experience as an NBA executive, and he's here to talk about the rapidly approaching NBA trade deadline. Bobby, how are you, sir?
I'm good, guys. How are you today?
Doing awesome. Glad to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the local interest around here. The Utah Jazz are a promising young team that look like they're a point guard away from being at least a decent playoff seed. I think maybe a little bit more than that from being a true contender in the powerful Western Conference. But there's a lot of speculation as to whether or not they're going to be real players in this approaching trade market. What are you hearing, and what's the sense that you're getting about Dennis Lindsay and his moves or potential moves before Thursday?
Well, with Utah, yeah, if they can make a deal to get a proven point guard without risking some of their key guys, you know, with Derek and Gordon and Rudy and you know, especially Rodney and everything, how well he's played, and you can even put Trey Lyles into that conversation right now. To do so, they're going to be active to try to make something happen here. You know, they've got some assets with, you know, some future picks that they're willing to move if it's for the right price with that, you know, Golden State pick next year, and then they've got OKC's pick a couple years later and everything. So the hard part with trying to get a point guard is that, you know, teams realize how thin the free agent market's going to be this summer for, you know, with the point guards and everything, and they're going to try to hold you hostage. If it's Atlanta with a Jeff Teague who's under contract for another year, he's not an expiring, then the price is going to be high for a guy like that. But, you know, the Exum injury in the summer hurt them. You know, they've treaded water here. It's interesting to see what their schedule right after the break. They've got that rare back-to-back where they're playing. They have to make up that Washington game and everything, so it's challenging from a travel perspective, though. But they might get in by default here based on what teams like Houston and what we saw Memphis today move Courtney Lee and everything. And if they can just play, you know, steady ball down the rest of the way, they should be sitting in the playoffs.
You mentioned the Exum injury, and obviously that has sort of set back the development of the team as a whole. But, you know, there's a lot of promise with a guy like that, but there's a lot of uncertainty, and yet it feels like the front office is very invested in making sure that Exum is a product that the Jazz develop. Is that the wrong way to view a guy that's still unproven, that, hey, no, we really like this kid and we want him to be in a Jazz uniform to at least find out if he's going to be something?
He's got a lot of untapped, you know, potential and everything, and the injury is going to, you know, take some time to get back, and they're not going to force feed him getting back on the court and everything. He's still in a great age. You know, he had some real good signs last year of, you know, being a quality player. He's under contract, you know, after this year for another 2 years, and then they control, you know, his contract and everything, which is a plus for Utah and everything, where you can develop but then not lose him in free agency and everything. So there's a huge upside. It's just a matter of where he is, you know, from a recovery standpoint with that injury.
It's O'Connell and Stubbs, ESPN 700, Utah's number one sports talk. On the phone with us, Bobby Marks, insider for The Vertical. Bobby, so what do you do if you're the Utah Jazz? Because if you're a 7 seed or an 8 seed, you're going to face most likely San Antonio, of course, Golden State. The odds of you getting through that round are going to be more difficult. Do you stay pat? My inclination would be, as a conservative guy, I wouldn't go for a Jeff Teague or make any drastic changes right now. I would take my chances on Exum maybe next year and play with what I've got, because we're Jazz right now on a nice roll, 8-2 of the last 10 games. What would you do, having worked in the front office?
What's happened is that the teams up top, Golden State and San Antonio, have scared. I mean, they've scared a lot of teams off, because you're not going to see many home run deals, at least out west, where, you know, there are some teams that might think they can get to that level. There's just not a deal out there. So why would you want to risk, you know, a lot of assets to maybe push the needle to go from maybe an 8 seed to a 6 seed? So, you know, if you don't get Golden State or San Antonio, you get OKC. So that's the mindset from a lot of teams. In the East, it's a little bit different, because you've seen some teams that are in that 7 to 8 range make some moves today and try to, you know, move up the ladder a little bit and everything. But no, I agree with you with Utah. With Teague, The only intriguing part is that he's got a great contract and that he's under contract for next year. So it's not like a Dwight Howard scenario where he's an expiring and he's got him for 30-day rental and everything. So if Exum's recovery is delayed, you can bring him on slowly and everything.
I see the Atlanta Hawks are shopping around Teague, of course, and also Al Horford. Yet Atlanta, if it ended now, they're a 4 seed. I could be wrong, but I think maybe
you're
a 4
right,
seed.
Yeah.
Why would they? I know they are expiring contracts, but it seems to me if they're going to get rid of Horford and also Teague, then they're kind of sealing their fate.
Well, and as you know, the grass isn't always green on the other side. You know, the hardest thing to do is rebuild. And, you know, especially in a market like Atlanta, you know, they've never really been a big player come free agency. And to kind of gut it a little bit and, you know, take a step back maybe for the future, I just don't know if that's the right message right now. Because they're still, even though they're a step back from where they were last year and everything, they're still a good team in the East and everything. And, you know, sometimes there's nothing wrong with being stuck in the middle. You know, as long as you've got cap space and you keep your picks and you've got assets to get better and stuff like that, they've made the playoffs 7 or 8 years in a row. So if you move a Teague or you move a Horford, and I understand the Horford philosophy because he's going into a walk year with free agency, but you should know by now a comfort level if you're going to be able to re-sign him in the offseason.
And what does that say to your fan base if you're a 4 seed right now? You've been winning, been going to the playoffs. You got a guy like Horford who was an all-star last week, and you've got Teague, and you dump those guys. Don't they have a hard time getting fans to Atlanta anyway?
Well, they do, and I think you got to look at the situation that just happened in Memphis with moving Courtney Liddy. I mean, Courtney's a good player. I mean, is he a top, shooting guard in the league? No, but he is a consistent player. And you moved him. You're the 5 seed in the playoffs. You had Marcus Gasol break his foot last week and everything, and you moved him for Chris Anderson, who's 37, and PJ Hairston, who's on an expiring. I mean, I get you got a couple, three or four second round picks, but there's so much unknown with seconds, and that right there doesn't send a great message to if you're a Grizzly fan and stuff like that, just because where they're going and everything. So that would be that's not in the same realm of if you move Teague or Horford, but it definitely does not send a good message there.
Bobby Marks, front office insider for The Vertical with Woj, is our guest here on ESPN 700. He is a 20-plus year executive himself in the NBA. So I think you're one of the few people that can actually answer this question for me. Realistically, how far out are some of these plans and machinations the teams are going through right now? How far out do they project? Is it a team like the Jazz looking at it and saying, well, where are we going to be in 2019? Or is it just, let's prepare for next year, especially having to pick your battles, knowing how good Golden State is set up to be for a while, knowing that San Antonio continues to reload? Does it change based on what conference you're in? How far out are they projecting?
Well, you got to look at it in a 3-year window and how your contracts are lined up right now. And you have to be realistic as far as how far you think this team can take you and what are your building pieces. And with Utah, you're looking at with their window with 3 years, you've got, next year will be basically Gordon's, walk year because he's got a player option for the following year. So that's something that's going to kind of creep around either in the summer or during next season and everything. You've got a lot of guys under, great rookie contracts. Derek's under a great contract when they signed his extension and everything. But you look at it as a 3-year window. You kind of try to want to focus on what, you and your business in hand. But it's hard, especially out west. If you're looking at if you're staring up to Golden State, I mean, that team is built for a while. I mean, if with Curry and Thompson and Green, and depending on what they do in free agency, and San Antonio is going to be good every year. So that's why you see a team like the Jazz put so much of an emphasis in their player development department and try to get better within instead of going out and maybe landing a big name free agent.
His name is Bobby Marks, front office insider for The Vertical. It is O'Connell and Stubbs on ESPN 700. Bobby, if you're the front office guy with the Clippers, what do you do with Blake Griffin? Do you get rid of him? When things happen like the way they went down, are you done with him? Or are you trying to fix it? Or are you hang on to him even though there seems to be some issues?
I hold on to him right now, and you get him healthy, you get him back on the court come, you know, mid-March, you know, after he serves that suspension and everything, and you see where you are come the playoffs and everything. You know, they're locked into basically number four right now, so you could be looking at a second-round match with one of those, you know, top two teams and everything. And then you reevaluate come June and July as far as how far this team took you. But I would not do anything with him right now. It's basically the equivalent of getting a player back in a trade without giving up an asset when he does come back. But he's got a lot of value around the league. I mean, he's had a great age. You know, he's 26 years old. He's on a good contract. He's under contract for next year and everything. And you know, that's the type of player, if moved at the deadline, could push the needle in a playoff race. But I just don't see it happening right now.
Do you think he wants to leave, Blake?
No, I don't. I don't. I think, you know what happened? You know, the league is so reactionary. So when there's an incident like this, and it wasn't a great incident, you know, you never want to, you know, lay your hands on somebody. But when there is a reactionary, to this, you know, that all of a sudden people think that, you know, a guy needs to be moving and everything. Well, you let the smoke clear, let everyone kind of take a step back, and let's see where this, you know, goes over the next couple of months. And if the Clips need to make a move and everything, there's going to be a long list of teams waiting outside their door.
Well, what kind of discussions do you think they're having behind the scenes with a guy like Blake Griffin? Is he having to be contrite and apologize and try to smooth things over, or is there a certain amount of distance between the front office and a Blake Griffin and maybe his people, or are they really just trying to work things out and smooth things over?
Well, he's benefited because they played so well. And I think if they had gotten to a big funk when he was injured, and also, you know, with the hand injury, then I think, you know, he might be looked at in a different way and everything. So he's gotten the benefit of the doubt right now by the Clippers' play the last, you know, month and everything. And you know, you don't know if they do go hit a rough patch, you know, within the next few weeks, does that change and everything. But you know, he's going to have to be on his best behavior for the next, you know, few months here.
In your opinion, who's the best guy, the best player we see move before Thursday?
I think Al Horford. I really do. I think, you know, and there are teams out there that are willing to, you know, ante up a little bit for him, even if he's on an expiring contract. You know, Dwight is the name that's being mentioned. I just think it's hard for a team like Houston to move him with such a big number, because basically you'd have to take three or four guys back because he's making such a high number, and I don't know if you'll get the full value because he's on an expiring and stuff. But we've already seen some movement today, you know, and it's the teams out east that have tried to shake up things a little bit in the playoff race. So, you know, it could be a prelude to how, you know, things go in the next, you know, couple days here.
What do the Miami Heat do with the situation with Chris Bosh and the blood clots? That's a sad story, and who knows where it's all going to end. But are they also protecting their assets and trying to figure out what they're going to do if indeed Chris Bosh doesn't return to the team?
Well, it's hard for Miami because, you know, going into the deadline, they had a bunch of, you know, options that, you know, they could lay out and everything. And then the Bosh situation really kind of, you know, puts a snag to things and stuff. And they're in an interesting dilemma with the Hassan Whiteside contract because they can only pay him up to a certain amount this summer unless they use some cap room. But he, you know, he makes the minimum. And unless you parlay him with some other players and try to get, you know, a player back with, you know, with years left on his contract, I just don't see him being moved and everything. But you know, they're in a wait and see mode with where the Bosch injury goes. And you know, they depleted some of their assets last year with the Dragic trade. You know, they've got picks going out to Phoenix, they've got a pick going out to Philly this year and everything. So it's interesting what they'll do in the next, you know, in the next 2 days.
That's Bobby Marks. He's a front office insider, 20-plus years of experience himself as an NBA executive. You can follow him on Twitter at BobbyMarks42. Thank you so much for the insight. Really fascinating stuff. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you. Talk to you.